Shear tonight is a sponsor of the Mishpas, my grandfather, Mr. A. Bryce Avram Ben Yitzchak, and Shama Shavan Aliyah in Gan Eden Mechayel Lechayel. In this week's Parsha, we have this episode of the Mun, the falling of the Mun that came from heaven, and there's a lot of halachos that we can learn from here regarding Suddus of Shabbos, and three meals on Shabbos, and what goes on at the meals on Shabbos, and specifically the Lech HaMishnah, the double portion we know all about, that it fell twice, or double amounts on Friday, so they would have enough because it did not fall on Shabbos, and according to Tosos, in two places, it also fell twice on Erev Yontif because the Mun didn't fall on Yontif as well, and that's why we have Shnei Alechem on Yontif in addition to Shabbos. Along with that, what I want to discuss tonight, there's two topics one could discuss when we discuss Lech HaMishnah, having two loaves of bread. One could discuss what constitutes Lech HaMishnah, what halachically is considered two loaves of bread. We can leave that for another time. What I want to discuss tonight is, what do you do with the Lech HaMishnah? Is there an order? Should you be cutting in a certain way? How many? All of them? Some of them? And what goes on with the Lech HaMishnah? Who has to eat from it? Things like that. So we're going to discuss the process from beginning to end of what goes on with the two challahs, or maybe even more, on the table. Says the Gemara in Shabbos, on Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Amar Rav Abba, B'Shabbos Chayiv Adam Livtzoa Al Shtei Kikaros. On Shabbos, you must, not a suggestion, you must cut on two loaves of bread, d'chsiv, as it says, lechem mishnah. There was a double portion, two times the amount of food there was. On Friday, there was in preparation of Shabbos. Amar Rav Ashi, chazina le l'Rav Kahana. I saw the Rav Kahana, denaket tarte, he held two, ubata echad, but he cut only one. Amar laktuksiv, because it says they took. They took in the double portion. It doesn't say what they did with the double portion. You're supposed to take the double portion in your hand. What you do with it afterwards, says the Gemara, is up to you. But they took a double portion. This is the Gemara in Shabbos. Now, Tosas and Beitz, as we said at the beginning, says we have Lech HaMishnah as a zecher to the Mun. And the Ran in Shabbos, Sait Shabbeinu Tammuz, says that women are also chayv in Lech HaMishnah. Women also have to be careful to make sure their challah that they take comes from a double portion of bread. Why? Because even though it's a time bar mitzvah and women are exempt from time bar mitzvahs, mitzvah sheshei shazman grama, so the Ran Sait Shabbeinu Tammuz says, af hein hayu bo sones. We know that when it comes to some of the holidays, when it comes to Purim and Chanukah and things like that, women also are responsible in those time bar mitzvahs because they were either, according to one opinion in Tosos, involved in bringing the miracle about, either by Chanukah with the story of Yehudis, or by Purim with the story of Esther, they caused the miracle to occur. Or another opinion, they were also saved with the miracle itself. That is a machlokas amongst Rishon. What does it mean they were also involved in the miracle? So because of that, women were recipients of the double portion of the miraculous bread falling from heaven. Therefore, women have to have two loaves of bread also on Shabbos in addition to the men. This is important because sometimes what will happen is that the wife or the mother will stay in the kitchen. She's preparing things. She's getting ready for the meal. And she'll tell them, no, go ahead. I'll wash and I'll come to the table and I'll have, you know, whatever challah is cut. No. That's not okay. She needs to be there to make her hamotzi on two complete loaves of bread. And if she's in the kitchen and then she comes in and has a slice of challah afterwards, she did not make her hamotzi on Lech HaMishnah. She needs to be present to hear the hamotzi, and that should be her hamotzi as well, something to be cognizant of. The Ran disagrees with the Beinu
Tam. What is she supposed to do?
What? Come to the table. Everyone has to be there at the table.
She misses it.
She needs to get two loaves of bread, or matzahs, or whatever it is you choose to use to have around the house. The Ran disagrees with the Beinu Tam. He says, what do you need to come on to tell me about miraculous events and things like that? It's very simple. The Ran says, it's the connection between Zachar and Shamar. We know that the Luchos, one edition said, the first one said Zachar, and the second one said Shamar. We flip it in Lechadodi, we say Shamar of Zachar, because as Rav Shech likes to point out, you have to spell Shlomo Alkabetz's name, so you have to have a shin at the beginning of the paragraph, not a zayin. But nevertheless, women, because of this connection between Shamar and Zachar, one has to keep the negative parts of Shabbos in addition to the positive parts of Shabbos, and that's why women are chayv in Kiddush as well, even though it's a time bar mitzvah, because whoever is responsible in the negative parts of Shabbos is also responsible in the positive parts of Shabbos. That's why it says, Shamar v'zachar b'dibur echad. Hashem said both of those words in Parshas Yisro at the same time. We split them up between Parshas Yisro and later on in the second edition in Parshas Veschanim, but at the same time those words were said, and therefore women are connected to all the positive parts of Shabbos as well. And therefore you don't need to come on to explain that they were part of the miracles. Well, the Nafka Mina would be, is Lech HaMishnah is Min HaTorah. is having two loaves of bread at the Shabbos table a do reis or a do rabbanon. Generally, we say that the principle of achen libioso anes, that women are also involved in the miracle and therefore responsible in that mitzvah, is only by dine de rabbanon. We don't find it by dine de reis as a rule. Chanukah is de rabbanon. Purim is de rabbanon. Dal kosis of the Seder, de rabbanon as well. All these are de rabbanon's rabbinic laws, and we wouldn't apply in this case. If lechem mishnah is from the Torah, then that would not be the reason why women should have to partake of lechem mishnah. But if it's de rabbanon, then it would fit together with this rule as well. Now, is it do reis or do rabbanon to have two loaves of bread on the table? The Taz writes in Tav Reish Ayin Ches, it's min ha-Torah. Therefore, he says, if you only have enough money for an extra loaf of bread or ner Chanukah, Chanukah candles, then you have to spend the money on the second loaf of bread because a Torah commandment will supersede a rabbinic commandment of ner Chanukah. This is the understanding of the Aruch HaShulchan, and here in Reish Ayin Dal, and Rabbeinu Manoach, and the Rambam, the Chassam Sofer, Zichun Aruch Haim, and Simon Mem Vav, as well, that this is a Torah commandment. However, the Prima Gadim writes in Reish Tzadi Aleph, again, when we talk about meals on Shabbos and Shulchan Aruch, he says that Sudas Shabbos and Yantif is a derabbanan. Having three meals on Shabbos and two on Yantif is only rabbinic, and therefore, obviously, Lechem Mishnah would be rabbinic as well. And this is the Shita of the Magen Avraham, in addition to the Prima Gadim. Now, a beautiful question from the Binyan Shlomo, in the name of his brother. Binyan Shlomo was Shlomo, the Dain of Vilna. He had a brother of Bezalel. We only know about Rav Bezalel because Rav Shlomo quotes him a lot. Rav Bezalel didn't really write anything on his own, but Rav Shlomo, the Dain of Vilna, quotes his brother a lot. So he has a tshuva in the Binyan Shlomo. In Simon Yud Tes, he has a brilliant question. Listen to this question. He says, let's say Shabbos falls on Shabbos, and Yontif falls either before or after it. It falls on Friday or Sunday. So you have 2 days, a two-day Yontif, we would call it, right? You have 2 days in a row where you can't do any malacha. So he says, wouldn't that mean that in the Midbar, if Shabbos fell before or after Yontif, that would mean you'd have 2 days of what? Of no man falling, because the man didn't fall on Shabbos and Yontif. So how much man would have to fall on Thursday if there was a Yantif on Friday? You need not a double portion, but a triple portion, says the Binyan Shlomo. So if that's the case, how come in such a situation where we have Yantif before and after Shabbos, we don't put three loaves of bread on the table, commemorating the triple portion that must have fallen in the Midbar at that time? Nobody does that. Everybody does too. A brilliant question. So he has an answer. The Beis Yosef clearly says that there was a double portion for Yontif since the month didn't fall, and he has an answer, but I want to give a different answer. I want to give two different answers. The first is from Meir Simcha, the Rav Dvinz, the Meshech Chachma, writes in this week's Parsha, Parshas Beshalach. He says that once the initial miracle occurred, once we already saw, wow, bread and food fell from the sky, that is amazing, thank you God. Once that miracle occurred, you don't need anything else. Anything else would be extraneous. Once you commemorate the initial miraculous event and you have two loaves of bread on the table, that's fine. Done, walk away. Anything else serves no purpose. You've commemorated the miraculous event of man falling and it not falling on Shabbos, and therefore there's no reason to have a triple portion. Rav Nassim Gestetner, who was a Rav in Bnei Brak, who passed away a few years ago, he has beautiful tshuvos that are not always halacha lemaisa, but he's very creative in his thinking, so it's fun to quote them. So he has tshuvos laharos nasan. So in Chelek Gimel and Simin Yud Aleph, he says that the lechem mishnah is not about the miracle of the double portion. We're all wrong when we get to the table on Friday night. We think we see two loaves of bread. It's with two portions of man fell on Friday. He says that's not what we're commemorating. He says it's to highlight Kavod Shabbos and the special place that Shabbos holds. Why? If it was about the actual double portion, then we would eat lechem mishnah on Friday, right? When did the double portion fall? It fell on Friday. Friday afternoon, nobody has two loaves of bread. We save it for Shabbos. It's not about the double portion. What it's about is showing that Shabbos is so important that Hashem did not allow a miracle to occur that day. That's what the double portion represents. It highlights the kedusha, the honor, the sanctity of Shabbos that Hashem had in not letting the man fall on that day. And therefore, says Nassim Gestetner, it's perfect. Once I'm only highlighting the kavod that Hashem gave in showing that the man didn't fall on Yontif, Shabbos, Shabbos, and Yontif, Yontif, and Shabbos, whatever it is, then you have showed the honor given to Shabbos. And there's no purpose anymore in having three loaves of bread at the table. Two explanations given for why one does not have three loaves of bread by Shabbos before and after Yontif. Let's get to the process of cutting the bread. If it is true, as the Gemara seems to have said, that one challah should be cut, then which challah do we cut? Which challah do we cut on each time? Friday night, the day? It's unclear. The top or the bottom one? Now, this whole discussion assumes what? That there's a top and a bottom. Nobody really discusses why in Nigla, but in Nistar and in the more secretive parts of the Torah, there are aspects that relate to why there's a top and the bottom, representing man and woman, things like that, but that's not the discussion over here. The Chai Yadam, who we paskin like in many cases, mentions nothing about issues of a top or a bottom challah. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, who we also paskin like in many cases, mentions nothing about a top or a bottom challah. So who does talk about it? So there is a Rashi, not a Rashi in Chumash, and not a Rashi in Gemara, but a Rashi in the Sefer HaOrah. The Sefer HaOrah is a collection of the Psakim, the Halachos of Rashi, from his base Medrash, collected by the students. So Rashi in the Sefer HaOrah writes in source number 2, Umevarach Chala Elyon Hamotzi. The top Chala is Hamotzi. Mishum Dechsiv, Laktu Lechem Mishnah. Now, I don't really understand what it has to do with A and B. So they gathered Lechem Mishnah. It doesn't say why, but for some reason, apparently Alpi Kabbalah, for whatever reason it is, so Rashi says that the challah on top is the one that should be cut always. He makes no distinguishing between night or day, but the top challah is the one that is always cut. This is the Shita of the Tshuvas HaRashba and the Sefer HaManig, the Rokeach, the Budraham, the Kobo, the Hagos Maimoni in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, the Bach, the Kafa Chaim, based on their Rizal, all say, apparently Alpi Kabbalah, for Kabbalistic reasons, that the top challah is cut all the time. That's opinion number one. Opinion number two is the Beis Yosef. Rabbi Yosef Karo writes in Siman Reish Ayin Daled, Vani Ra'isi Gedolim, I saw great people, Shibotzi and Hatachzon, that cut the bottom challah. V'shamati shekeinachon la'asos, Alpi Kabbalah. I heard there was proper to do it, Alpi Kabbalah. So Rashi and his base medrash claim the top one should be cut Alpi Kabbalah, and the Beis Yosef says, no, the bottom one should be cut Alpi Kabbalah. Okay, so I have to ask the Mekubalim what's going on here. That's certainly out of my pay grade. Let's come to the more common minhag. That is the Rama. The Rama writes over here, clearly, V'dafka b'leil Shabbos, and he writes, Das Atzmi. This is his understanding. Only on Friday night do you cut the bottom challah. Aval b'yom ha-Shabbos, or b'leil yantif, or on Yantif, whether it's day or night, so then Botei El Salyona, you cut the top challah. That's the distinguishing difference in the Ramah. Only time you cut the bottom challah is Friday nights. Any other time you cut challah, the top one is cut. So says the Ramah. And that would seem to be halacha l'maisa for Ashkenazim. Certainly, you always cut the top challah unless it is Friday night. This is cited by the Levush and the Prisha Talmidim of the Ramah. Also saying it's al derech Kabbalah, so we have three different opinions, all arguing that theirs is the right way according to Kabbalah. Again, what does that mean? I'm not sure, but all three opinions saying their understanding is al pi Kabbalah. This is what the Shulchan Arav writes, the Aruch HaShulchan, and other poskim as well. Now, this would seem more. It comes out for Ashkenazim. What if Shabbos falls on Yom Tov? Because the Ramah said on Friday night you cut the bottom challah, but if it's Yom Tov Friday night, if it's Yom Tov night, then you cut the top challah. So what do you do? Yantif and Shabbos. You have a contradiction here in the Ramah. So the Beis Avi, Rav Yitzchak Libis, and the Mishnah Yosef, and other Sfarim as well, say that the top challah is cut, and you ignore the fact that it's Shabbos, and Yantif overrides Shabbos, and the top challah is cut. And Rav Yashiv in the Kovitz Mevakshei Torah, and Yantif says that it's like Shabbos, and the bottom one is cut. So I would tell you at the end of the day, just pick one, south or the bottom, and cut one of them. Okay, now, the Bach has a question. A famous question with the Bach. The Bach says, the Gemara in Yuma Daf Lamed Gimel tells us, Ein Ma'avir in Al HaMitzvos. We don't pass over mitzvos. If you have a mitzvah in front of you, it's improper, it's a lack of respect to the mitzvah to pass it over and to go do something else instead. So says the Bach, what are you doing? You're sitting at the table, you have a top challah and a bottom challah. What's the cloak mitzvah before you? The top challah. You're taking off that mitzvah and going directly to the bottom challah. You are passing over the mitzvah of the top challah in front of you, asks the Bach. Now, there are three answers given to explain the Bach.
Is the mitzvah the cutting, or is the mitzvah having both of them just?
Good, so that we'll discuss that. What is the mitzvah exactly? Is it a Kavod Shabbos, or is it a Din Lechem Mishnah? We'll get to that at the end, and this could be a Nafka Minah for that. The first explanation given is from Rav Meir Ginsburg, the Rav of Prague. So he says that it's only Ein Ma'avir in Al-Mitzvos when you intend to use both for the mitzvah. I'm going to do both. One is in front of me, A or B. To pass over A to go to B is inappropriate to A. But if I have no intention of using A and I'm going directly to B, the bottom challah, then I'm not passing everything because the top challah was never a mitzvah in the first place. I had no idea that I was going to use that top challah, and therefore, in this case, since I have no intention to use the top challah, because the Rama told me that on Friday nights I have to cut the bottom challah, so I'm not passing any over mitzvahs. Comes the Taz, the son-in-law of the Bach. The Taz married the Bach's daughter. That's a story for another time how that happened. Not for right now. So the Taz answers his father-in-law's question by placing the bottom challah closer to him on the bottom. The Bach explains that you should have challahs like this. You have a top challah and a bottom challah, and you simply slide the bottom challah closer to you. And therefore, right now, if you're going from a side view instead of a bird's eye view, the challah on the bottom, since you pulled it closer to you in kind of like a step-like fashion, the lower step being closest to you, the top step being further away. So in that case, you're not passing any over mitzvos because you have pulled that bottom challah closer to you. This is cited by the Eliyahu Rabbah, the Chayyadim, the Aruch HaShulchan, and what most poskim say should be done on Friday night, according to the Rama. Now, the Magen Avraham has a third explanation. He says, he has a very complex explanation that I have not seen anybody do. He says that before the bracha, you should have what's going to be the bottom challah on the top, and what's going to be the top challah on the bottom. And then right when you make the bracha, flip it. So therefore, ein ma'abirin al mitzvos, because you mixed up the whole order, and there's no first and there's no second, and therefore you solve the problem. I've not seen anyone do that. It's certainly very creative. One could do that. But generally, people follow the Taz, who are in the know, and they simply pull the bottom challah closer to them. Now, Rav Avi Yosef writes in the Bia Omer in Chelek Ches, in Orach Chaim and Siman Lamed Beis, he says that there's a comment of the Teferes Adam. I don't know what the Teferes Adam is, but he says that since the Gemara in Shabbos says, Chayiv Adam Livtsoa al Shteki Karos. You need to Livtsoa, and we'll see there's a machlokas. What does Livtsoa mean? But there needs to be the cutting over two loaves of bread. It must mean you have to hold both loaves of bread while you cut. Sounds very complicated and very dangerous also. To have to hold two loaves of bread while you're cutting both, it seems a little extra maneuvering that might not be necessary. But this is his understanding of the Gemara. Rav Avi Yosef notes that the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and the Mishnah Berurah say that this is not the minhag. Clearly, if you're going to cut one challah, you put the other one to the side, no one's offended, and you cut the one challah in front of you. So says Gedolei HaPoskim. Let's move on now to the next discussion, and that is making a mark on the bread. There is a halacha that is based on a Gemara in Maseches Brachos regarding making a mark on the bread. Later discussed by the Rishonim that when you eat a loaf of bread, you want to have a very small hefsek, a break between the bracha and the eating of the bread. So in the olden days, so bread was very tough and not as soft and delicious as our bread. So what they would do is they would make a deep slice into the bread to get them started. And then when they wanted to finally cut into it, the knife would be ready there at the top of the bread and it would be quicker and they would shorten the slice to go through the bread. It must have been very, very tough bread. This is what's cited in Shulchan Aruch. Now, the Bach, there in Kuf Samach Zayin, the halachos of bread and benching, so he cites the Maharshal. This is in the middle of the page. I'm sorry I didn't highlight or number anything. But the Bach writes, V'kas of Maharshal, Rishon Maluria, Da'amidaktikin Ragilin Lershom B'sakin, Kodem bracha kabalti ad kamashono. The Maharshal says that those who are careful make this indentation into the bread to make sure that there's a limit of time between the eating and the cutting of the challah. This is what most poskim cite, the Magen Avraham, the Eliyahu Rabbah, and the Mishnah Berurah. Now, the Tzlach in brachos and daf lametes, so he questions but doesn't reject the Bach. He says, I just have a problem with him, and that is that why are we not worried that on Shabbos what will happen? You will cut deeply into the bread, get ready to make hamotzi, and then, oops, my lechem mishnah is lost because I cut too deeply into the bread and I ruined it. What are you messing? If it's so important to have two whole loaves of bread, what are you messing around with it? Just leave it alone and don't make any cuts in the bread. So the Tzach says, is this the right thing to do? I'm not sure, but the Bach said it and the Maharshal said it, so I'm not prepared to say that it is wrong. This is the sheet of the Yeshuas Yaakov as well, there in Shulchan Aruch, that maybe one should not do this. So I saw in Shmuel Kamenetsky, one of his Talmidim, who's a Rav in Brooklyn, so he's been publishing beautiful Svarim called Kovetz Halachos, on different Moadim and different Halachos. And the top is very good, but really the bottom is where the best stuff is. He has amazing footnotes, but he quotes a number of Psakim from Shmuel Kamenetsky. Shmuel Kamenetsky said, this is in the Kovetz Hilchos on Shabbos in Chelek Aleph, in Perakid Dalet, he says that this could cause a longer hefsek, because what's going to happen? Think about it. You have a loaf of bread, and you make a little mark in the bread. And then you lift up the bread, and you have all your kavana, baruch adonai, mosel lechem haaretz. And now you pull it back, and you're ready to make a cut, and, oh, where's my mark? I can't find it. And it was very small. It wasn't very deep. I should have made it bigger. And You're just looking around for this mark. So what's going to happen to your concern about a hefsek? You spent 30 seconds trying to find a little line inside the challah that you made 30 seconds before. So says Shmuel Kamenetsky, I'm not so sure this is applicable anymore, especially when our breads are cut pretty easily on their own. In the Haggadah Shel Pesach, Mi Beis Levi, which is a beautiful Haggadah that discusses the halachas and minhagim and Inyanei Machshava from the Brisker dynasty. So on page Kuf Samach Dala, they have a Shmua, a Kabbalah from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the Brisker Rav. He says, Maran Hagrach, Rav Chaim lo haya noeg lirshom im hasakin al halecha mishnah, kodim birchas hamotzi. Rav Chaim would not do this. He was against such a practice. The Soloveitchik home apparently did not cut into the challah. So it doesn't give a reason why. So the editor says maybe making the mark is a form of roshen. You're not allowed to make important marks into things on Shabbos. It's one of the malachos. It's a told of kosev to write on Shabbos. You can't make significant marks, right? You can't write aleph beis or the alphabet on Shabbos. You also can't make a star with a pen in order to mark off that this is important. That's rishima. That's making a mark. So maybe the editor says that maybe this is the problem. If I make a mark into the challah, it's like roshem. I'm signifying a mark in some way. It's like writing on the challah. In the Sefer Hilchos Shabbos B'Shabbos, sort of Karp writes in Perek Yudalad about this idea from Chaim Soloveitchik, and he said the issue was sirtut. We know that in Sifrei Torah there are lines that are indented into the Sefer Torah, so they write in a straight line. Now that's one of the 39 malachos. You can't make indentations into something on Shabbos. So says Rav Chaim, according to Rabbi Karp, that this is the problem. You make a line into the challah, you are indenting into the challah in a significant way to be used for later on, and therefore that's why it was not done. He says this is very difficult to say such a thing, and what would be the rishima over here? What would be the sirta that you're making over here? Maybe you're delineating that this part of the challah on one side of the knife is holier than the other part of the challah. Maybe yes, maybe no. He says the whole thing is very difficult, and he doesn't even think Rav Chaim said this thing in the first place, and he throws the whole thing out. Okay, next, the Gemara in Brachos Lamates Amud Beis tells us, and the Gemara in Shabbos, that Chayu Adam Lutzol Shteki Karas. So you have to cut or Livtsoa on two loaves of bread. Now there's a question, what does that mean, Livtsoa al Shteki Karas? Look at Rashi. Rashi over here, in the Gemara in Shabbos, right after the Bachman quote, it says, Livtsoa Birchas Hamotzi. Rashi says, Livtsoa means to make the bracha of Hamotzi on two loaves of bread. That's what the Gemara wants you to do. Hold the two loaves of bread in your hand, make hamotzi, and that's sufficient. We know that when we make brachos on food, we're supposed to hold the food in our hands. So you hold the two challahs in your hands, hold them, make the bracha, and then do whatever you want afterwards. Come the Ra'a, Rav Aaron Halevi, and the Ritva in the next commentary here in Brachos, lived soa sheki karos b'shabas perish, lived soa mishtehem. They explain you have to cut both loaves of bread. Not only one, but you need to cut two loaves of bread. In addition, look at the Gemara in Shabbos there, Rav Zera haya batsa achula sherusa. What does that mean? Rav Zera would cut a lot of something. Amar le Ravina le Ravashi, va michze karvanuse. You look like you're gluttonous cutting such big pieces of challah. So Amar le came into chol yom lo avid, va dinahu ka avid lo michze karvasa. He says that's special for Shabbos. You're right. During the week, I would not cut off a slice of bread that I would feed a horse. But on Shabbos, L'kavod Shabbos, don't cut little small slices for your guests. That's rude. It's not L'kavod Shabbos. Everyone should get a nice size chunk of challah on Shabbos, appropriate for such a special day. Now, the Rashba here on that Gemara, or let's look at Rashi verse. Rashi says, Perusa Gadola. What it means here is that he would cut a big piece, as we explained, in order to be mechabed the suit of Shabbos. But look at the Rashba. The Rashba says it does not mean he would cut a very big piece of challah. What it means is, Perish, he quotes Rashi, he says, Eina mechover bein, I don't think it's correct. Chada lo havalei lemeimar achkula sherusa. He says, therefore it means, Hainu ayin yafad ala amru bala bayis botseya. And he says, in the next page here, he says, V'o davar halameid meinyanu hudama revchi et sarath letzol shekikaros, vade hachi perusha. What it means is, batza al kol hakikaros, hamunachas lefanav le'echol. Says the Rashba, the Gemara is telling you is, any challah that you are going to eat, you must cut and eat. That's what you do at the table. You don't cut one and then save another for later, but any challah that's going to be eaten, says the Rashba, cut all of them at the table. This is the psak according to the Rashba. Now the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch in Reish Ayin Dalet And the Tzlacha and Brachos and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishnah Berurah is not like the Rashba. Most poskim say you should cut one challah with large slices. However, there's an opinion of the Maharshal and the Shla, which the Vilna Gaon cites in his Bir HaGra, and the sheet of the Gra was, you cut both challahs. So says the Vilna Gaon. Some people follow that opinion. And in fact, the Bach and the Magen Avraham said to be machmer for both opinions. You should cut both challahs with really big slices, and you cover everything. You cut, according to Rashi, you cut big slices, and according to the Rashba, you cut both challahs. Okay? Now, this is the question we raised before. Is cutting all the Lecha Mishnah, is that a din in Lecha Mishnah? There's two portions of man that fell, and therefore both must be engaged with. Hashem sent us two portions of man, and therefore Friday night we must engage with both portions of man, and that's the din in Lecha Mishnah. Or is cutting both of them a din in Kavod Shabbos? So to show my love for Shabbos that I'm cutting both chalas. Look, Hashem, I'm serving all the food, I'm making a big deal, a big presentation. Maybe that's what it's about. So I think there are five nafkaminas. There are five halachic ramifications from how we view this issue. If it's a halach in Lecha Mishnah, if it's a halacha regarding cutting both loaves of bread, then you should have to cut both loaves at the same time, right? Because we're highlighting the double portion. So both pieces of man should be cut in the same instance. If it's Kavod Shabbos, then if it's more covered for me to save it for later or eat it now, so then cut the second one later until you finish and enjoy the first one. In fact, the stipler is according to Ochos Rabbeinu that he would cut both challahs, but only one at a time. He would go through the first challah, finish it, and then cut the second challah, but not cut both in the same instance. Next, should people be careful to taste from both challahs, right? If it's a halach in Lecha Mishnah, you need to engage with both challahs, then everyone should be careful to have a little bit of A and a little bit of B. But if it's a halacha in Kavod Shabbos, then whatever makes me happy. Maybe I like poppy seed versus sesame seed, and I want to have that one over the other one. It shouldn't make a difference. Okay? Three, if it's Lecha Mishnah, then maybe the second challah also needs to be dipped in salt. Everything needs to be the same. Equal. Everyone gets the same treatment. Nobody is loved any more than another one. We know the challahs are very sensitive because we don't want to embarrass them, right? So we want to make sure everyone is treated fairly. In addition, if it's a matter of Lecha Mishnah, both should become the same slice, right? Not just at the same time, as we said. And also, if it's a din and Lecha Mishnah in both challahs, then they should be cut, even if you don't plan on eating the second challah, right? If it's about showing the two portions of man, then even if it's just me and my wife, and no one else is going to eat it, and we have two large challahs, doesn't matter. Lecha Mishnah dictates that both challahs should be cut, because this is what the Torah wants me to do. If it's for Kavod Shabbos, then, well, maybe I'm not hungry. Maybe I don't want to eat 7 pounds of bread at the table. And maybe it would not be Kavod for me to cut both challahs and waste them and for them to become stiff. This is the later understanding of the Chut Shanir of Nissen Karelis and Hasefer on Shabbos, and I saw in the Sefer Shvilei Halacha as well. They both said that if you don't want the second challah, even if you follow the Gra and you follow the Rashba and you think you should cut both and you want to follow all the opinions, you want to be like the Bach and the Magen Avraham who says to follow everyone, if you don't want the second challah and no one's going to eat it, then don't cut it. The cutting of the second challah is to enhance the meal, not to prove a point. Now the Mishnah Berurah seems to argue. He says that if you're worried about wasting challah, then you should do the following thing. For Shabbos, you should have three big challahs and three small challahs. At each meal, you should have a big challah and a small challah. Friday night, day, and Shal Shittus. And in that way, says the Mishnah Berurah, you can fulfill all the opinions, not waste any challah, because you can manage a big challah and a tiny little challah bulka, and that should be enough. And that would hold you over. So the Mishnah Berurah would say that perhaps one has to cut all six challahs over the course of Shabbos. Let's get to the end over here. The Gemara in Brachos from Zayim and Aleph says that when you make hamotzi for others, then the mevarich, the person who makes the hamotzi, should partake of the bread before he gives to everybody else. That is the halacha. Why? So the Tzlach and the Pimagadim explain that it's not proper kavod for everyone else to eat before the Baal HaBayis. I'm the Baal HaBayis, and it's my challah I'm sharing with you. So why are you eating before me? It's not good manners, right? You don't partake of the meal until everything is brought to the table, until the hosts eat first. So the same thing should be with challah. Now the Ramah and the Levush are lenient, but the consensus of Poskim are that this is something we should be careful about, not to partake of challah until the Mevarech, the person who made Hamotzi, eats himself from the Lecha Mishnah. Now, the Rav Nevinsol, his Mishnah Berurah says, Ela im kein mechabit avi v'rabba. If your Rebbe or your parents are at the table, then it would be proper, says Rav Nevinsol, to give them the first slice and not to eat you for to take the first slice. Because if it's a din in kavod of giving honor, then it would be more proper kavod to give to your Rebbe or your parents before you partake for yourself. But in general, the first slice should go directly to the mevarech, the person made the bracha, and then he should give to everybody else, or he should quickly take it for himself after he slices everything, but he should be the first one to eat. Now, there's an opinion of the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai has a parish on the Shara Kavanos of the Arizal. So the Ben Ish Chai there writes that you should give your wife a piece of bread larger than yours after you take for yourself, and only then you should give to everyone else. Your wife should get the second piece of challah before anybody else takes. The Yafal Alev in Reish Dal explains that this shows that the Birchas Habayis, the bracha of the house, comes in the zechus of the wife. This is a Gemara in Bav Metzia, Daf Nun Tes. The Gemara in Bav Metzia says that a man must be very careful to show honor to his wife properly because the bracha in the house is only due to her. So you take this challah, which represents Isa and bracha and growth and all good things, and the person after the mevarech has to eat first because of a technicality. But the person who should really be partaking first is the wife, who represents the bracha and the good things that come from the home and for the rest of the household. And therefore, outside of one's Rebbe and one's parents, so really, next in line should be one's wife who gets the second piece of challah. So, the man gave us many wonderful things, many mitzvot that we have learned from there. And as the Gemara, as the Medrash Tanchuma says, the Torah is only given to the generation of Ochlei Haman, the people ate the man. There's certainly a strong message of connection between Torah, Talmud Torah, and learning, and Brach and Hatzlach for Klal Yisrael in the man and the Lechem Mishnah.